Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes, you're very faint, but I can hear you.
Okay. Here's our assignment from yesterday. Notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed by that review? A belief and assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions, RL what you see. Example, voices, gosh, why can't he ever say something positive or appreciative? The belief, what I do is who I am. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine. What are you seeing?
Let's see. So it seems like the thing that causes a lot of suffering around work is pay, like how much this person gets compensated for what she does. Because I've been looking at work and all that stuff for years, because I was raised by a mom who really didn't like, you know, she would complain a lot, like how I have to go to work. And I remember in the last few years reminding her, Mom, I want to go to work. I'm really happy I have this job. I'm happy, because she would say, oh, I'm so sorry you have to go to work. So I would just
so perfect, Christine, to see how what's our issue we project onto everybody else and just assume it's their issue, and often it's just not.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and then,
go ahead.
Getting paid in a certain amount, and it feels like ego, and it really does feel like ego is just, it's just totally ego fighting for something, for itself.
The conversation.
You know, just like I, what? Yeah.
For the conversation, just to keep it in the front of your conscious awareness that there is an issue here that you need to be thinking about.
Yeah, and I need to do something about it. I mean, getting paid this amount isn't right for anybody, you know, any human. It's just the way that it gets me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm fine going to work and, you know, being part of a community and helping out. But when it comes to the pay, that's where suffering
often comes
in. And Christine,
do you think that there's some validity to that? I mean, do you think, empirically speaking, you're underpaid?
Well, no, not me specifically, not this little human, not me, but the field possibly. Yes,
the people who do the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, that. Yes, I think that's underpaid.
we could say teachers are underpaid.
Yes. Definitely. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one. I mean, there's a lot of jobs that are underpaid, but
mm-hmm.
yes, but having it cause me to suffer or keeping my attention on that isn't how I want to live.
Right. Cause it is what you do, and it is what that profession or that line of work pays.
Yes, right now it is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe that'll change, but probably not in this minute. And you being required to be focused on it constantly as a conversation is just not helpful.
No. Yeah.
So maybe a few minutes every day you spend doing things that might influence that. But in this moment that you're in, this is the job you have and this is what you get paid, and why continue to talk about it? It's kind of, as you see with your mother, I hate going to work is not helpful. It doesn't lead to happiness and well-being.
Yep.
Especially if we don't choose to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I was thinking when you were saying, when you were talking. Yeah, there are opportunities. There's groups of people who do want to get paid for time off or have health insurance with their work or all sorts of stuff. And if I'm not obsessing about this one thing, which I don't think I obsess about it, but it is a place of suffering at times, then I'm open to opportunities for change. Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, change.
Right, and in the big picture, I mean, you could have gone into a line of work where you would be paid more. If that was what you wanted to do. In other words, people regularly pick lines of work because they're paid a lot of money. They may, liking the job might not even be part of their equation.
Oh, yeah. It's important for me to enjoy my job.
Okay. So all those things are interesting.
Yeah,
interesting to look at when we get past the ego just going over the same terrain over and over and over and over, as if that's going to contribute something that benefits something other than it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you
very much.
Interesting, sure. Interesting stuff to look at, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, right. Take care.
Thanks,
go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Christine. Sherry, the thing that I was most aware of in that conversation is how the conversation produces a level of confusion that doesn't allow us to just be with how it is. So the facticity of a field of work where the pay grade is X is as true as me enjoying that work or wanting to do it.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then being able to look at my motivations and say, am I working because I enjoy it or am I working in order to make money? If I want to make money, I'm going to make money. If I want to enjoy my work, I want to enjoy my work. And it's only a conversation that puts us in a place of suffering that says that the work that I enjoy has to also pay well.
When, in fact, it doesn't.
Well, yes, and I think that it's not as if it's not that I'm pointing to the injustice of a world that...
No, I'm not either.
...any of those things.
No.
Just simply, that's how it is. It's what...
That's exactly...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's... No, I was agreeing with you. If I want to be a teacher because I want to be a teacher, part of what I'm signing on for is teachers are underpaid.
Right.
I just know that. But I still want to be a teacher.
And what my sort of, say you don't get you don't get mad, you get even, right? That there's a way in which the way in which I celebrate that choice is not to suffer over it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I get to enjoy that, what I do.
Yes. And so I think what we keep getting to is that what ego, the ego conversation does often is put things together that don't have anything to do with one another, and then we suffer over the fact that they are together.
That's exactly right. That's exactly where I was going. It's got nothing to do with anything, and yet I'm trying to make it go together when it doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that could be part of it.
Yeah. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hello, Ramita. What are you seeing?
Hello. I am seeing how much of the conversation in my head is based on a belief that there's a right way to be spending my time. I'm not doing it, and therefore, I'm really not the right person.
Ooh. Well, that's a quick trip, isn't it?
Well,
time is kind of a big part of our lives, right? So you can just be the wrong person all the time.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm seeing on and off since I, quote-unquote, retired, you know, several months ago, and have a lot more freedom and flexibility on what I do with my time. You know, conditioning just has to say, you know, just has me believing that there's always something else that I should be doing. I have my priority. I mean, the whole thing. You know, I remember way, way back, one of my first sort of bits of awareness that came was, you know, I'd be inside doing something and the voice would be saying, I didn't think of it in terms of voice, but there'd always be this feeling, you should be outside. It's a beautiful day. And go outside and play in the flowers. You really should be inside cleaning the house.
Yeah,
I got that,
but
now it's just morphed into everything else.
Right. Right. It's good like that, isn't it? Good to see that, right? That it's always got a duality going on, right? And usually it's got dozens of dualities going on, so that wherever we look, we run into one side of a duality, and then right behind that is going to be the other side of the duality. Right? Mm-hmm. So just catching on to that is huge, right? So whatever you're doing, you should be doing something different. There. Okay. That is a conversation truly you do not need to indulge.
Yeah. And as you say that, I recognize that the progression went from, or it goes from the duality. If it can get me caught there, great. If I persist and say, no, this is my choice, I'm doing it, then it's the critique. But you're not doing it right. You're not doing well enough.
That's right.
You're not.
That's right.
There's something wrong with it, with you.
Always a duality. Always a duality. And what you're seeing is, it's why, you know, our whole deal is there's something wrong and not enough. That's what all the dualities come down to. That's the only point that they're making. There's something wrong, and there's not enough. Okay, there's something missing. There should be something more, right? And that's what you're seeing, right? So no matter what you're doing, it's going to get you, if it can, to entertain one side of a duality, so that it can jerk you back and forth between those two.
Mm-hmm.
So how you're doing it is not how it should be done. That's how fast you're doing it. That's not fast enough. That's not pretty enough. That's not good enough. That's not. You spent too much time on that.
Yeah. So I'm having a little trouble seeing that as a duality, but it's like whatever you are doing or not doing, there's something other. So it's separating. You're separate from what should be happening. That's the duality, that kind of?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and with conditioned mind, you're playing with the flowers, right? Well, how you're doing it is not how it should be done. You did that, you should have done something else. So the one side of the duality is is you, whatever's going on with you, and the other side of the duality is how it should be.
Yes, and what I'm seeing is I'm playing with the flowers, and I'm not doing it right because I'm actually listening to a conversation.
Oh, precisely. Because outside of that conversation, there isn't any right or wrong. There isn't any should or shouldn't. That's the big spiritual trauma of this, right? In the present, there is no duality. In life, there is no duality. Night is not a duality with day, right? Night and day are not opposites. Only when we take them into the dualistic mind of ego are they perceived that way. Okay, so all dualities happen in conditioned mind. Conditioned mind is a world of duality. Duality doesn't exist anywhere else. So anytime, is there background noise?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, is that on your end? Okay, that's okay. Yeah. That's fine. That's not a problem. As long as it's you, that's not a problem.
It's me.
So that's the big clue for us. And the conversation cannot happen without duality. The conversation is always dualistic. Always. Uh-huh. Which is why we just beat endlessly on that drum of you've got to drop the conversation. If you're not in the conversation, you're here. If you're here, you're not in the conversation.
Yes.
So it's huge what you're seeing.
Yes, and
Go ahead.
I was going to say that the ability to see this with clarity in this moment is a result of been listening to a very present oriented recording in my earbuds. A lot.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. You're choosing to bring attention to presence. That's what you're choosing. And the result of that is you're not in conditioned mind. And so when that dualistic world of conditioned mind ego arises, it's really obvious.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini. I'm happy you go happy too.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Ramita.
So, Sherry, I only caught the tail end of that conversation, but that whole notion that duality only exists in the world of conditioned mind is so helpful, because then it's that thing we talk about as what signals us to get back here.
Yes. We hear it. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, you shouldn't. You should. You can't. You don't. Why did you? But all of that, we can recognize, whoa, that's the world of something wrong and not enough. That's dualistic. That's ego. Oh, okay. Get the attention back here.
Yeah. Let me get to see what it's like to be actually playing with the flowers. And the two things that dropped in about that are, it is just, it's that thing that Ramita was saying about being unable to recognize something as a duality, because when we're in it, we're only on one side of it. We can't see the other side.
That's right. We just have to extrapolate. If something is telling me I shouldn't, there must be a should.
Right. But because conditioning works in by ignoring, I mean, that is the process, right? It basically doesn't allow us to have an awareness of anything other than it. So there's a way in which there's no awareness of the other side, because my collapsed awareness is only aware of this. That's why we train to call something out like a duality, because then awareness is trained to recognize the duality no matter what.
That's right. And we're training ourselves to recognize what ego has succeeded in hiding from
hiding.
Us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because it just occurs. Oh, should. Wait, I know what that is. Let's see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? All right, I'm going to go to the next caller, Sherry. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Christina from, at the moment, Kona, Hawaii.
Aloha to you. You threw me there. I was trying to make you Laura, but you didn't tell me
right.
Laura.
Wow. Right. Yeah, I'm in Laura's space.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you seeing there in paradise?
Well, right. Well, interestingly, so when I saw the topic for this month, I looked and I thought, well, I did this last month, and I sat with it and I thought, but I can certainly look at it from a different perspective this month because there's all kinds of ways to look at it. But when I really sat with it, what came up for me was this place that in my space right now, what I'm resisting and what I'm suffering around is the hat I wear as the family chef. You know, I'm the, and maybe chef is an overstatement, but the person responsible for the food and nourishing the family. And
the line
cook. Looked at that, exactly. The prepper, the cook, the cleaner. The,
You're the whole thing.
And, yeah. Right. I get help. But yes, for the most part, it feels like that, that, you know, what conditioning would call pressure sits on my shoulders. And or responsibility rests on my shoulders. And so one of the beliefs and assumptions that I uncovered by looking at how the voices were talking to me the other day about this is similar to what other people have talked about, which is, and it shows up everywhere, of course, but the fact that I believe that there's a limited amount of time, and so I have to choose, and I have to choose between things. And some things take on heightened importance, and then, you know, but that's just how life is. I'm just forced to choose. And what became really clear the other day, I didn't plan my lunch. I have a very important job to do. I'm being told, you know, to get out of town. I've got to finish things up. And so I was told that, you know, I didn't have time to eat lunch. And I caught it right away, and I stopped. I was like, actually, you know, I'm really close to this health food store. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to get myself something nourishing before, you know, I get back to the office. Because, of course, I was running errands on my lunch break, and you know, instead of nourishing myself. And but it was really clear right then and there that it's not that, like, I'm being controlled by this voice that's like this, not even a task manager, but like this you know, I'm such a driven person, and I'm driven to get my job done and do my work and make sure everything's done just so. And it's like that. It's just a distraction piece because I'm being driven in this one area right now by this other force, and it's going to turn it away from that area as soon as it feels like it, right? So I can focus on, you know, some other thing that I'm driven to do, right, that is more important. And it might just be cooking really healthy meals, you know, but I have to get rid of, you know, this work that I do in order so I can cook healthy meals. Like, that's the setup that is always right there in front of me that I'm looking at. And just really getting, and that's in the conversation the other day on the call about the schedule, it's just so helpful that that just knowing this is the time for lunch, this is the time I feed the family, this is the time for prepping the dinner, this is, you know, and being able, and it's not always going to be something I can stick to, but, you know, I know how to do that. I know how to set the week schedule on Sunday morning. I have those abilities, and just to see how, be compassionate with the person who gets steered away from that sometimes and gets pulled off into these other directions. Yeah.
Right. Because there are two things about it that to me are super important. One is to see that the main thing that's going on is you are being driven and controlled.
Right.
Which, you know, which is really especially clear when you realize, wait a minute, I have all the skills and talents I need to make this work. I do not need a voice telling me what I already know, which is the second piece of it, right? How much of our attention goes to being told what we already know, being in that conversation that creates the illusion of a problem that actually doesn't exist.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And being told that I'm not capable of it, because that's another piece of
that's
it that comes up. And that I'm a victim. You know, I just can't. Right. I'm not capable of that.
Right. And so I just love those little moments when it all comes together and it becomes clear that, wait a minute, there's a health food store right there. I can stop and get something to eat. And to realize that all of that stuff that was going on was to keep you from doing this simple, obvious thing that would make so much difference. And what would be the point of that? Well, you would go on believing the story that says, you're too busy, you don't have time, you can't, you need to, right? So just that one little event shows us, just brings into clarity the lie of the whole thing. So imagine if you had all of the time and energy available to you throughout your day that goes into giving attention to that conversation. You would just be going just like a dance. This, now this, now this, now this, now this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can get
had
an
that
image
experience.
Of that. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, in small bits, I know that place, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that whole conversation is to get us to believe we don't know that. But once we realize, yeah, I do know that, now I know the experience that I'm looking to repeat. Now, it's like when we talk about happiness. Okay, happiness exists within us. It is just how that is. It is who we are, right? And once we find our experience of happiness and we find out where we feel it in the body, our job is to keep turning attention to that experience. Okay? Very simple, admittedly difficult, but that's all that's going on. We turn attention to what we choose, what we want, instead of giving all of our attention to what we don't want, which is what you saw in that little, you could eat lunch, there's the store. It will only take a minute.
Yeah, and all right. If I can just ask for a little piece of clarification on that, because there's a little bit of, as soon as I insert the word want, then I feel like I almost get pulled into like this, you know. And
okay.
I lean on the schedule, because the schedule doesn't, I don't have to know what I want. You know what I mean?
Like,
I just know this is the time.
Yes, you can. But the want is I want to be peaceful. I want to be happy.
Mm.
I want to enjoy
my life.
I want
to be here.
I want to be here. That's what I want. I want to be here, because here is where everything is that I want.
Right, right. Instead of being told, this is next, keep moving this way.
That's right. And we were talking about that in group last night at Center, that moving from that, what's next, which is that driven, controlled place, to what next.
Right.
All right, what now? That's where the dance is. You know, if you're dancing, you really don't want your attention on what's next.
Right, that's a great image.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, sorry, partner. I didn't mean to trip you there. Yeah, I thought we were going to. Yeah. All right.
Thank you for that.
Well, aloha, mahalo. There.
Aloha.
That's the extent of my language abilities here. So go happy.
Right,
huh?
Mine too. Go happy.
All right. Gotcha. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Christina. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. And it's Friday, so here's our assignment for today. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single, unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a phrase or word that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Example, the voices. Nothing I do seems to please him. Can't he see how hard I try? Is it me or is it him? Just try harder. You can make this work. Doesn't he know that criticism isn't inspiring? I think it's time for me to move on. I'm out of here. The eyes. Victim. Nothing I do seems to please him. Can't he see how hard I try? Figure it out. Is it me or is it him? Hopeful. Just try harder. You can make this work. Sarcastic. Doesn't he know that criticism isn't inspiring? Fed up. I think it's time to move on. I'm out of here.
Wow. How perfect to have a weekend for this, huh?
Yes. All right. Thank you, Sherry. Go happy.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.